Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events?
Call now.
Locally, dial 216-901-0933.
Or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight here tonight on this extremely warm, humid, sweltering Northeast Ohio night. That's if you believe in global warming, that is. But if you're out there tonight, it is cold. It was about a half a degree below zero when I left our house in Richfield this evening to come up here. I don't know what it is right now, but I'm sure it's not much warmer than that. So if you're out there on the roadways tonight, stay warm. The wind is blowing something fierce. You got to keep a good grip on the steering wheel out there if you're driving around. And, of course, if you're driving around, I hope you'll stay tuned to us this evening. And if you get a chance, join in the program as well. If you're at home, stay warm. It certainly don't go out unless you have to. It's a cold one out there. I think if it weren't for global warming, we'd have icebergs in Lake Erie right now. But, it's kind of a mixed metaphor, I guess, or something. But global warming is starting to thaw here, I think, because there was a report on CNN, an editorial actually just last week, where they're now starting to not believe that global warming is occurring. And that's, of course, CNN, one of the extremely liberal networks, so I'm sure the others won't be much further behind. But as we've been talking here before the program, probably God's got his finger in this. He's just showing us that the weathermen don't know exactly what they're talking about. Of course, really, the weathermen don't believe in global warming either. It's people outside of our meteorologists that believe in it. And a lot of people like to believe a lot of things contrary to the what's going on in the world. I heard one guy say that it's supposed to get colder still, but that just proves that we're getting warmer. Well, Bible talks about people who would call good evil and evil good, so I think they're in a variation on that. So hope you'll join in this conversation with us here tonight on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And, of course, you can call us with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word at 888-677-9673. We'll be giving those numbers out through the program. And we're going to open with a word of prayer here this evening. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be in the studio tonight, Lord, and safety and traveling, Lord. We do pray for those that are out traveling right now. Keep them safe on the roads, Lord. Father, we do pray that you bless the program this evening. Use it to help somebody to draw closer to you. If there's somebody searching and somebody that needs to trust Christ as their Savior, we do pray that somehow we can point them to Christ tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're joined in the studio tonight with a special guest. We have Bruce Musselman. He's the host of Where is the Word of God, which is heard on this same radio station, 1220 The Word. And he is on Thursdays. It recently moved to 1 p.m. If you'd been listening to him on Thursday evenings and haven't found him lately, Thursdays at 1 p.m. He's on for a half an hour on here on AM 1220 The Word. And Brother Bruce Musselman is in the studio with us tonight. Brother Bruce, good to have you tonight.
Thank you, Al. It's good to be here.
Well, it's good to be inside tonight, especially.
That's for sure.
Well, I tell you, it's we're all bundled up in here in the studio tonight. I think we all got our flannel on and things like that. It's something else. But you know, we were talking earlier, Christmas is coming up this week, and we think about Christmas time and we celebrate the birth of Christ, of course, at Christmas, and we'll be talking about that a little bit here this evening. We'll probably cover a number of other topics, and of course, if you've got a question about this or anything else about the Bible, I have to let you know, Bruce Musselman is an expert, I believe, on if you want to know anything about Bible translations, how we got our Bible, church history, he's an encyclopedia. So I'm buttering him up over there so he can do a lot of talking tonight. If you have noticed, my voice is a little raspy. I can feel it getting a little raspier as I talk. So I'll probably take a break or two while we're going through the program tonight and let Bruce Musselman do some talking as well. But we think about the celebration of Christmas. There's a lot of things that we find with the celebration of Christmas. We were talking about one of them today at church. And you see it in just about every nativity scene. And it's something that really didn't occur in the way that you see it in your nativity display. And that's the presence of the three wise men. Whether or not there were three, that's a whole nother point. But according to the scriptures, they didn't get there, did they, at the night that he was born? When did they get there?
Well, they got there a little later. At least Herod thought so anyway.
Yeah,
he gave it up to 2 years.
Yeah, because in Matthew chapter 2, it talks about them arriving. Personally, I believe that the star appeared on the night that Jesus was born, and they began their journey, and they did not arrive and see Jesus lying in a manger in the stable. Instead, Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13 says that they, or I'm sorry, in, well, let me find it here. I'll look away and I won't see it. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him." So he's beyond the infant stage now. Young child could have been 1 or 2 years old. And in fact, as you said, Herod, when he tried to destroy the young Jesus, he had all the children 2 years old and under put to death.
Yeah, it's interesting. I just saw this. It says, "When they came into the house." So he's moved from the stable to the house.
And also when we look at it there, this is where we get the idea of three wise men. It says they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. So there's three types of gifts. That's where we traditionally get the three. There could have been three. We know there's at least two because it's plural, wise men. Could have been half a dozen of them. But certainly they had a caravan with them, I'm sure, because you wouldn't have traveled about in that part of the world in that day, you know, just by yourself lugging around bags of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You would have had a whole caravan there. But that's just one of the many things that we see at Christmas time that we think we know, but it really, when you look at the scripture, we really don't know. I was thinking of another one here. Probably that we should have led with this one. Brother Bruce, do you think that Jesus was born on the 25th of December?
I doubt it. We know where the 25th of December, actually it was a pagan holiday, and a lot of times why they would have holidays and they would just replace them with Christian holidays instead of the pagan holiday. Because people are going to celebrate it anyway.
Give them something to do in its place.
So it looked like Constantine was the one behind that they started celebrating on the 25th.
Well, when do you think he was really born? Put you on the spot here.
Yeah, that's a good question. I haven't really considered that in great detail.
Yeah, I'm going to assume that it was probably in the late summer, maybe early fall, because the shepherds were doing what? They were keeping their flocks where? In the fields. And, you know, they would have been down in an area in the midwinter, they'd have been down in the valleys, in the sheltered areas. But they were up in the hills, in the hill country, and the meadows and the hills with their flocks. And so it probably wouldn't have been in the early winter, which is what this time of year is.
You think it's possible that it could have been on the Feast of Tabernacles or something?
You know, I haven't really thought about that, but that would be a sensible time, thinking, because that's when that's also called the Feast of Booths, right?
Yeah.
And that's when
Sukkot.
Jesus, of course.
Sukkot.
Yes, and that's when Jesus, of course, God tabernacled among us, hence the name Emmanuel, God is with us.
That's going to be that's going to be a universal holiday very soon when Jesus comes back to the earth, the Feast of Tabernacles.
Amen to that.
The whole world will celebrate that day.
Well, it's amen to that, that's for sure. Well, if you've got a question tonight for myself or Brother Bruce here, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's toll-free anywhere in Ohio or outside of Ohio. If you're listening on the air or on the internet, 888-677-9673. get you on the air with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And, of course, Christmas coming up this week. Wednesday, of course, is Christmas Eve. And if you're not doing anything, certainly like to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church located in Richfield, Ohio, on Brecksville Road. We have a Christmas Eve candlelight service, and we just try to at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, Christmas Eve. And we do that every year. We just try to take a few moments out of the busy holiday season to try to remember that we're celebrating the birth of Christ. We get caught up with the dinners, parties, buying gifts, all the things that we do at this time of year. And we just take a few moments, and about an hour or so, we read through the Bible account of the birth of Christ. I put together some years back a little booklet. It's nothing but scripture, and it starts in Isaiah and runs through into the New Testament, covers the birth and early days of the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. We read through that, and then we sing some Christmas hymns, share some blessings of the past year, and then afterwards we fellowship and enjoy some Christmas cookies and coffee or whatever, refreshments, and makes a nice, relaxing evening. And if you're not doing anything on Wednesday evening, Christmas Eve, and would like to join us, you can join us at the Bible Baptist Church at 4767 Brecksville Road. That's 4767 Brecksville Road, Richfield, Ohio, at 7 o'clock on Christmas Eve. Well, my voice is kind of coming and going here a little bit this evening. I apologize for that. And but again, Bruce Musselman is in the studio with us tonight, host of Where is the Word of God, heard 1 p.m. on Thursdays on here on AM 1220 The Word. And we've been talking a little bit about Christmas, and we had some other things we were going to talk about here this evening as well. You brought an article in with you today, and would you like to just point out a couple things that we were mentioning there?
All right. Here is a commentary. It's on the Cleveland Jewish News from last week. Making us a Christian theocracy is un-American pie. And in this article, why it is I suppose to the Jewish community, a very scary article. And it gives the idea that there are some evangelical Christians that want to set up a government church state and promote their religion. And they make this statement: not all Christians, nor indeed all evangelicals, are of such a mind. Those who are, however, must be kept from achieving their goal. Were they to succeed, modern America would turn into medieval Europe. Freedom severely limited. Medieval Europe? Can you imagine? I mean, when they were burning people at the stake.
Well, that was our forefathers they burned at the stake, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
The Bible believers.
Yeah. You know, this idea, you know, it seems like there's many in the Jewish community, although there's not, there's many that know better, that seem to think that they put all so-called Christians in the same category. But the Bible-believing Baptists have never persecuted anybody, and we were the ones that fought for separation of church and state. And we're still that. And that is the predominant faith in America today, where there's 100,000 Baptist churches in this country. And we don't believe in persecuting anybody, because actually the core of our faith is that a person needs to repent and get right with God. Well, mm-hmm. You can persecute them or put pressure on them, but that'll never change them whatsoever.
Exactly.
It's a matter of the heart. And so we have history on our side. We have never done that. And it would mean for us to do what they're accusing us here of would mean a total change of religious faith and belief.
Well, and talking about Bible-believing Baptists, it's because of us that the Bill of Rights is in our Constitution. And, you know, you compare our country with, say, England, for instance. They have no Constitution. And there were Baptists in this country at the founding of our country that were persecuted really just about as viciously as they were in parts of Europe and Britain included. And they did not want that to happen in this country. And so if you value the freedom of religion that you have in this country. You ought to show up at a Bible believing Baptist church on Sunday and thank the people there, because it's the Bible believing Baptist that got you that. It wasn't the Congregationalists. They persecuted us. It wasn't the Anglicans. They did the same thing. You read your history of Massachusetts, Virginia, places like that.
He's talking about Rabbi Rudin's book, Baptizing America. Mm-hmm. And I have read this book a number of times, and it is I take offense at it because it's not getting the facts straight.
Exactly.
They mix up groups, you know. And they were talking about, for instance, Rush Dooney and North and Gary North, you know. Well, that's a very, very tiny group. And that group doesn't believe in they believe God was through with Israel. And the evangelical Christians that back Israel, they believe that God has a plan for Israel in the future, and they're not trying to set up some kind of a church state to force religion on everybody or their religion. I mean, that's the Baptists don't believe that. See?
Right. Freedom of religion.
Yeah, Jesus says, now is my kingdom not of this world, otherwise my servants would fight. You know, mm-hmm. Our job is just a spiritual job of being a witness for Jesus Christ, right, and discipling believers.
Well, and also the scriptures say, come now, let us reason together.
Yeah.
And we're not like the Muslims out there with the point of the sword, forcing conversions. We have a caller who's called in, and we're going to go ahead and take our caller here. And John, are you there?
Yes, well, how are you tonight?
Oh, good evening. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, John.
Good. I can barely hear you.
We're going to get you turned up here a little bit. Is that any better?
Yeah.
Okay. And we've got Bruce Musselman in the studio with us tonight, so good to have you. I hope you're staying warm tonight.
Oh, it's pretty chilly out there.
Oh, it's cold. So, but what's your question?
You know all about that global warming, though.
Yeah, I felt it tonight coming in.
But I wanted to ask your guest his opinion on the verse known as 1 John 5:7.
First John, well, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a verse that they say should not be in the Scripture. The fact of the matter is that the early church fathers quoted this, and it was quoted by Cyprian in 250. And I should say what the verse is. 1 John 5:7 is, there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. It's a key verse on the triune God. Well, it was quoted by Cyprian in 250, who is a famous church father. It was also quoted by Athanasius, and he died in 370. It was also quoted by Tertullian. And Tertullian, in his writings, he wrote quite a bit, and he wrote in Greek and also in Latin, and he told where the original autographs were of the writers, and he quotes it and never questions it. And so I believe that it is in the authorized King James Bible, and I believe God wants it there.
Well, I was looking in the encyclopedia, and it said that this passage is not found in any Greek manuscripts before the 14th century.
Well, Tertullian wrote he wrote in Greek and Latin, and he quoted it, so he had a Greek manuscript it was in, so did Athanasius.
That would be the 3rd century, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, I'm given, Tertullian wrote in 200, Cyprian wrote in 250, and Clement of Alexandria also quotes it, and he was born in 100. And so this was in the 2nd century, and all of these, their Greek manuscripts had it in, and that's why they quoted it. And I realize that a lot of people had it out, you know, but say that it shouldn't be in. But that's why I believe it should be in.
According to this encyclopedia that I'm looking at, it said the founding fathers did not quote from it until the middle of the 5th century.
I would say apparently somebody's wrong there, because as Bruce was saying, you had Tertullian and Cyprian and others, you know,
yeah,
in the second and third centuries.
Does your guess by any chance have an exact quote?
What's that?
Does your guess by any chance have an exact quote?
Well, I could give you books that have this in. I mean, they would tell you, and they would give you footnotes and everything, you know. Which version is God's Word by Floyd Nolan Jones? He's a scholar, Southern Baptist scholar. book by Gail Riplinger. What was that one she wrote? New Age Bible Versions.
Yeah. And I think her book there actually quotes Tarshian as writing and quoting that verse in the year 150, and the Old Syriac version of the Bible in the year 170. And see, part of the problem that I've seen, maybe Bruce, maybe you know more about this than me, a lot of what goes by the guise of church history is all actually Catholic history, and they have kind of altered some of these things. For whatever reason, they've decided that they want to cover this up.
Yeah, you know, Tatian wrote, that you just mentioned, he wrote a book about 160, he wrote A Harmony of the Gospels, which was widely used in the second century. And I have quite a number of books that discuss this. It's interesting that a famous commentator named Dr. John Gill, who wrote from about 17 to 1760, does a great discussion on this particular verse. And
maybe 99% of the modern scholars reject it.
Well, I think he had the key word there was modern.
Yeah, and you say 99%. I don't think you could show that, you know. But the thing is, the Alexandrian manuscripts, there are only about 30 of them, but 99% of the Greek manuscripts will back up the King James Bible, you know. And a lot of these individuals, if you study their life, they were anti-Christ. I mean, they did not believe Jesus Christ was God. And so a lot of the information is being fed into even evangelical schools comes from this source. For instance, the word studies that was put out by, I'm trying to think of that author. He put out a famous book on word studies, and it'll probably come to my mind. But, you know, he was a propagandist for Hitler, nearly got hung after World War II. And he writes... He writes a lot of the people that corrected King James, they do it with his writings.
Was that Kittle by chance?
Kittle, that's the word I wanted. That's
right. He was a good Nazi, I heard somebody say one time.
Yeah.
That's why they almost hung him.
But his father revised the Old Testament Hebrew Masoretic text. And there's a lot of books out now on this subject, I mean, that have been very well documented. Bergen did a tremendous amount of work, who is Episcopalian in England in about 1890, and he did a massive amount of work on these subjects. And we can refer you to books if you want to read the other side. I realize I have, for the last 30 years, tried to read every book on every side of this issue that I could get my hands on, but the other side is definitely wrong. 99% of the Greek manuscripts back up the King James.
Can I interject when you're talking about, I believe it was John Gill, and what year was he writing again?
He was writing between about 1700 and 1760 in that time.
Okay, and I've got a thing here where he says that in reference to this verse, he says, and yet after all, certain it is that it, meaning John 5:7, is cited by many of them, by Fulgentius in the beginning of the 6th century against the Arians, without any scruple or hesitation, and Jerome, as before observed, has it in his translation made in the latter end of the 4th century, and it is cited by Athanasius about the year 350, and before him by Cyprian in the middle of the 3rd century, about the year 250, and is referred to by Tertullian about the year 200, and which was written within 100 years or a little more of the writing of the epistle, which may be enough to satisfy anyone of the genuineness of this passage. He goes on and says, besides, there never was any dispute about it till Erasmus left it out in the first edition of his translation of the New Testament. And yet he himself, upon the credit of the old British copy before mentioned, put it into another edition of his translation. So I think the onus is on the writers of that encyclopedia. I don't know where they got it from. It sounds almost like as credible as the Wikipedia that you find online. That's just basically people's opinions. I mean, they fly in the face of of established historical proof and evidence and scholars in days gone by that upheld that passage in the scriptures.
Well, this is from a...
But we're... Oh, go ahead. We're almost out of time if we get cut off here.
Well, this is this is from the Queen's College in Cambridge, England.
Okay, Cambridge, England. Well, they made a mistake then if they said that. I don't know why they would ignore the writings of Gill, but...
located in Richfield, Ohio. This program's brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church at 4767 Brecksville Road in Richfield. We'd like to invite you to visit the Bible Baptist Church. We're easy to find, midway between Akron and Cleveland, right where Interstate 77 and Interstate 80 cross. And we have Sunday school at 10 o'clock each Sunday morning, our morning worship service each Sunday at 11 a.m., our Sunday evening worship service each Sunday night at 6 p.m. We also have a Wednesday evening midweek prayer service at 7 p.m. and a Friday night Bible study at 7 p.m. each Friday night as well. Each service is distinct, preaching through Bible doctrines, various books of the Bible, and then our Friday night Bible study is an informal Bible study. It's actually the source of this program. It's informal. You bring your Bible questions or questions about current events in light of God's Word, and we discuss them at the Bible Baptist Church located in Richfield. We'd like to invite you to visit. But we also want you to know the Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But then the Bible says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But God commended his love toward us, we read, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that whosoever. That means anybody and everybody. If you're listening, you can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Why don't you come visit us at the Bible Baptist Church located in Richfield, Ohio, this coming Sunday or our Wednesday evening or Friday night services. We'd love to have you visit. And if you'd like to contact us, you can write us at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. That's P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. That's 330-659-6561. We'd love to talk to you. And if this show's been a blessing to you, why don't you contact us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield and let us know. All right, welcome back to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And we're coming into the second half of our program on this cold night here. Again, I hope you're staying warm and enjoying the program this evening. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We'll be getting back to our caller here in just a moment. We got cut off there at the bottom of the hour with the break, but do want to remind you about our Christmas Eve candlelight service coming up Sunday or Wednesday night, Christmas Eve, December 24th, and we'd love to have you visit with us and spend an hour or so fellowship and enjoy a time of reading the Christmas story taken directly from the scriptures. Also, for those of you that come to the Friday night Bible study or are thinking about it, it will be canceled this Friday night. That's this Friday night only. And it will be resuming again next week. Hopefully my voice will be back by then. I apologize for my voice tonight. We have a caller in the, a guest in the studio this evening, Bruce Musselman, the host of Where is the Word of God, 1 p.m. on Thursday afternoons here on AM 1220, The Word. And we've been talking here in the last portion of the last half hour. We've been talking about the authenticity of 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. And we went out looking at the quotes of John Gill, a scholar of the 1700s who referred to a number of people in the 2nd, 3rd centuries, 4th centuries. And our caller, John, was talking about an encyclopedia article that he was reading that was put out by, I believe he said, University of Cambridge in England.
and it was put out saying that it never appeared until, I believe he said, the 1400s. Interesting, because the University of Cambridge should have had this information. I mean, I have the quotes of John Gill right here, citing those from second, third, and fourth centuries that quoted it. Other people had that information. Numbers of Greek manuscripts existed at that time to show it. For whatever reason, they chose not to look at those things, I guess, and put out an article in an encyclopedia claiming something other than the truth. Kind of like the people who claim global warming today, I think. But is our caller still there? John, are you there?
Yes.
All right. I just wanted to let you know we got cut off there at the break with the music while we were talking about that. I didn't know if your statement about the encyclopedia that you saw that in got out on the air, so I wanted to make sure people knew what we were talking about.
Okay.
But we'll pick it up there, and Bruce is across from me in the studio, so I'll let you take it. I'm going to get a sip of something for my throat.
Okay, I'm going to ask your guest, since he feels that it's authentic, what does he feel that it means?
Well, the Bible says there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. It's talking about the triune God. God is a unity and made up of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
And what exactly would they be bearing witness to?
What would they be bearing witness to? Well, they're bearing witness to God himself. I mean, they bear witness to the truth of God. Jesus said he bore witness to the truth.
Well, I hear one of my patients calling me, and I'm going to have to go, but it was
okay.
Very nice talking to you.
Well, John, I appreciate your calling. You always keep us on our toes.
Okay.
And I certainly appreciate it. Have a Merry Christmas. I hope you do.
Thank you.
And thanks for calling Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And, of course, for those of you who have listened to the past, John calls us periodically, challenges us with some questions. I hope his patient is doing okay. But certainly Bruce was talking about what they bear record to. Certainly the whole of the Bible bears record of God. God himself bears record of his word.
Yeah, Jesus said he bore record to the truth, you know. So thank God we have the truth. And Jesus said, thy word is truth. I think the greatest problem today is there's teaching out there. They'll say the Bible is true, every word is true, the Bible is infallible, and it is present tense. And then you say, well, which one? And mm-hmm. They don't agree, you know.
Well, you know, if a Jehovah's Witness knocks on your door, they love to trip up people who think they know the Bible. And if you go to 1 John 5:7, this happens almost every time, and I've had this happen in the South Pacific Islands. I've had this happen here, where you go to 1 John 5:7. They do not believe, the Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that Jesus is God. They believe he's Michael the Archangel. They can't give you any verse to state that. They say you have to infer that, but they don't believe that Jesus is God. And when you say that he is, they ask for a verse to prove that. If you go to 1 John 5:7, they kind of smile. They kind of stand up a little straighter and look smug. And they say, ha, that was a spurious verse. That's not in the originals. How would they know? But, you know, they read the Catholic materials, don't they? They read the modern translations that cast doubt on it.
Yeah, the modern translations are all based on what they call the Alexandrian manuscripts, and that is the Roman Catholic text. They're all from the texts of the Roman Catholic Church. It's interesting, though, that you mentioned when you were reading about John Gill, and I didn't remember this, although I probably read it in the past, that Jerome accepted that, you know, and Jerome was the one that put out the Vulgate. But Gill mm-hmm. says that he accepted 1 John 5:7, and yeah. He was translating the Vulgate at the instance of Pope Damasus, and this was in about 400. He made that translation, so he accepted that. So it was widely used by the early church fathers, and the King James translators knew this. They were probably the most scholarly men that ever got together.
Oh, and some of those guys were reading and writing Greek, Latin, and Hebrew hardly out of diapers.
Yeah,
and that's not much of a stretch of the imagination or of the statement there.
I heard a sermon by some guy, and he was talking about people correcting the King James, and he said He said, "Do you any of you speak Greek?" And nobody raised their hands. He said, "Did any of your professors speak Greek?" And none of them did. But he said a lot of the guys on this translating committee, they spoke it. They read, wrote, and spoke it, you know, even before they went to college.
Yeah, I heard a great statement by many people have listened to J. Vernon McGee over the years. And he used the King James, but he wasn't quite the same position that we are. But he used the King James only. He was asked one time, and he said, "Well," he said, "I taught Greek and Hebrew." He said, "I didn't feel qualified to teach or to translate it myself." And he said, "I taught some of these translators," and he said, "quite frankly, they weren't that good."
Yeah, I heard that statement
so,
too.
So he said that on that basis, he wouldn't use them. And the sad thing is, for instance, the New International Version, one of the most popular, was not written to maintain the technical accuracy of the Word of God. It's a watered-down book, and it's changed itself. I don't know how many times since it first came out. But no, we've got a preserved Bible. In the English language, we have the authorized King James Version of the Bible, and it's certainly another interesting sort of subpoint on this. The charismatics, when they have their word of knowledge or somebody interprets somebody speaking in tongues, they all use the NIV, except when they interpret somebody speaking in tongues, it's full of verilies and yays and therefores and these and thys. I always wonder why they try to use bad King James English in that. But anyway, that's beside the point. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And it's actually me tonight with the gravelly voice and Bruce Musselman in the studio with me tonight. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673 with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. If you've got a question about what we've been talking about or something else entirely, we'll welcome your question here on the program this evening and give you a chance to talk about it. And we've got a caller, I believe, coming in. And we're going to get this one up here in just a moment. I believe we have Duane on the line tonight. Duane, are you there?
Good evening, Pastor
Al.
Well,
good evening, Duane. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Forgive my voice.
Oh, that's quite all right. Hey, Merry Christmas to both of you.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Merry Christmas.
And I just wanted to say that I want to thank both of you gentlemen for sticking up for the King James Bible as the pure Word of God. That absolutely means a lot to me.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Excuse me, I'm not like I can kill this phone.
All right.
There's so many people nowadays that say we don't have the original autographs. And I found out from Dr. Ruckman, because we stay in contact with each other, close to 2,000-something universities and Bible schools throughout the land all say the same thing. We do not have the original autographs. Therefore, we don't have the preserved Word of God.
You know what Jesus did? We should handle it like Jesus did. He said, "It is written." And the Lord said he would preserve his words, and we are to appeal to what we have as infallible, inspired, and inerrant. And this is the teaching of the New Testament. This is the teaching of the whole Bible. Sure, we don't have the original autographs, but we have the Word of God. And, you know, 6,000 Greek manuscripts back up the King James. Is about 30 that are against it, and those 30 have, they disagree with each other constantly. You could get 5 manuscripts with 5 different readings on one verse, and that's what the modern ones are based on. But the Bible says, "In thy word do I trust." How can we trust in his word unless we have it? And there's many scripture verses that point to the King James as the Word of God. It says the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. And so the other translations, as soon as the translator retires, why, it generally goes out of circulation. There's 200 translations have been made since the King James got out of circulation. But the King James goes on and on because it's the Word of God.
Amen. Amen to that. And I meet a lot of people that tell me, "Well, there's errors in the King James." And I say, "I'll tell you what, if any of you scholars think that there's errors in the King James, Dr. Ruckman has personally had an open auditorium. He'll fly you down to Pensacola. He'll give you 55 minutes to go in his church and prove and show that there's errors in the King James Bible. And not one person from Bob Jones, from Tennessee Temple, none of them has ever took him up in that offer. I'm going to let you guys go, and so you might get another more calls. But I want to thank you for sticking up for the Word of God, because the KJV 1611 Authorized Version is 100% without error, a bloodstained book. I love you. God bless you. And thank you for standing up for the truth.
Well, thank you, Duane, for calling. And Merry Christmas to you. God bless you as well. Thank you very much. And, you know, Bruce and I were talking once before about this subject a little bit. And there's an excellent passage in Psalm 12 where the Bible says in Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. And then verse 7 says, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Clearly the them refers to the words of the Lord. And I told Bruce, I said, it's just like if you had you went up to the sink and you took a glass, and you took a clear glass, and you held it under the spigot, and you turned the spigot on. That's the Word of God coming out into that glass. That's when God gave the Word. And then if you took that glass of water, okay, and you went over to the cupboard, and you wanted to pour it into another glass, let's say the other glass had a red color to it. It was a red glass. Well, you take the same water, and you pour it carefully into that glass, and you don't spill any, you don't add anything to it. What you have done is you preserved that water that came out of the spigot. And you know, if you think about that, that's what God's done. He poured that Word of God out from the spigot of the Holy Spirit into the Hebrew and into the Greek in the case of the New Testament. And that word, Greek and Hebrew there, was in that clear glass. And since then, it's been poured carefully into other glasses representing other languages. And in the 1600s, God raised up a body of men, scholars, Bible believers, godly Christians, born-again Christians, who God used to carefully pour that glass into the English language. And so today, you have contained in the English language the pure Word of God without missing anything, without adding anything, just like it came from the tap of God's Holy Spirit. It's just the container has changed. And I don't know why that's so hard for people to understand. I think the real reason is that people don't like what the Bible says, and they make the same error that the devil made when he went against Eve in Genesis chapter 3. In fact, one of the very first things we see the devil saying is, what?
Yea hath God said.
Exactly. Yea hath God said. And that's what he does today. And so people pick up the Bible, whether it's 1 John 5:7 or some other portion, and some scholar says, well, I got an encyclopedia that says, yea hath God said. Well, the devil is the best scholar there ever was. And he did the same thing. So there must be an ulterior motive as to why people don't want to believe the Word of God. Well, we've got another caller waiting. And we have Keith in Canton, I believe. Keith, are you there?
Well, pastors, how you going?
Good evening. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I, along with the King James, I also use the J. Green's literal translation and Robert Young's translation from 1860. They use the same Greek text. He's off on a few things, but I highly recommend Brother David Cloud's resources.
Oh, yeah. We've talked about that before. Yeah, wayoflife.org.
Yeah, Way of Life. He's got some smaller books, and then he's got some very in-depth, really balanced, solid scholarship just dealing with the Bible versions. Very excellent researcher and a communicator. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, you know, the Lord says, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. And so, we shouldn't add or take away. But that word diminish has the idea of, you know, just taking a little bit away.
Right.
You know, kind of taking the sharp edges off of the exact Word of God. And that's what a lot of these modern versions do. They not only have other Greek or Hebrew text that take things totally out, or they take a word and just soften it up so much that it means something different. Like, say, for example, something shocking that I came across in my own study was in the New American Standard, which is many, like John MacArthur, K. Arthur, and others that are good teachers, but they're using the New American Standard. There's 42 times in the New Testament where the word pornea and pornuo and pornos are used. They're connected all together 42 times. It has to do with fornication. 80% of the time, the New American Standard translates it only as immorality or immoral person. And, you know, that's a euphemism to soften up the real meaning, you know.
Right.
You have 1 Corinthians 5, 9, 10, and 11, you have some great words of warning that are given to the Corinthian church and referring back to the Old Testament where you had Christian, you had God's people, some saved, some not, you know, dying because of God's judgment. And here this word is softened up. It takes the whole meaning away. And so 80% of the time, New American Standard does not translate it faithfully, and it's a very serious thing.
Yeah, you know, immoral to a young person could mean something like parking in the wrong parking spot or something like that. It doesn't have the idea of fornication, you know, to them. So it is a change. You know, the worst thing about it is that the modern versions are Arian, and that is they deny the deity of Christ. In 100 places, we have a list where they take out the names of Jesus in the New Testament, 100 places. And so, you know, basically they're the same as the Jehovah's Witness Bible. So somebody talking against that is talking basically against a New ASV and an NIV and any of the modern versions. And they have the people that put these things out or put those texts together, they had something against Jesus Christ, that's for sure, whether they claim it or not.
Definitely. If you study, like, you know, different resources that you have, and you can study the lives of these scholars that were off and the things that they said and they wrote, like Brother Cloud's books. You have all these apostates and these apostate writings, and these are the ones that are determining what the Word of God is going to say. I also recommend Brother Waite's website, Bible for Today. He has a King James Bible
Donald
called
Waite,
Defined
yes.
King James Bible, and he takes some of the older words and puts a little definition down at the bottom. And then
in fact,
son,
I've got that sitting in front of me right now.
That's really excellent. And then also, Chick Publications for 50 cents. You can get a little small little dictionary that helps define some of the older words. And then his son has a little, Dr. Waite's son has a little book called The Doctored New Testament. Really awesome because it goes through and shows you where they've altered the Greek text. And, you know, a lot of these things you don't always know until you're actually comparing them side by side, and so
well, exactly, we need to compare scripture with scripture oftentimes, and you know, with that in mind, here's two verses, and if anybody thinks, well, you're talking about this changing a title here, changing a name there, isn't it all the same? What's really so big a deal about this? Anybody that thinks that, you like your New International Version, I would challenge anybody to call up, write me, whatever, send me an email, and quote to me from your New International Version, Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, or Matthew chapter 18, verse 11. I challenge anybody out there that's listening to even find those two verses in your Bible. If you can find them, Bruce will give you $10. How's that? But I challenge anybody out there to find those two verses. That's Matthew chapter 17 and verse 21 and Matthew chapter 18 and verse 11. And you know, if those Bibles aren't there, might make you wonder what else isn't there.
You know, I now that we're talking about all these authors, and almost every one of the major colleges has somebody that graduated, it's quite a scholar that will defend the King James. We could go right down the list of them. But one of the book that's just come out recently, and it's an encyclopedia of information, Defend the King James, is called In Awe of the Word by Gail Riplinger. And these other authors, I've got books by them, I've read them, but this is another one that you might be interested in Awe of the Word. It's a 1,000-page, practically an encyclopedia of information.
All right. Well, Keith,
I
was going to let you know we've got about 2 minutes.
Okay.
Got another caller who's waiting
care.
As well. Did you want to say something real quick? All right. Keith, appreciate that. And Merry Christmas to you as well. Thank you for calling. And hope you'll call back again next time. And we have another caller, Eddie, who's been patiently waiting, I believe. Eddie, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hi. I was having a kind of interesting question on kind of touching on that last subject.
Mm-hmm.
About the relationship between faith and reason.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps you could talk about that if you could, because I get a lot of different slants on that. Some people say that, you know, reason isn't necessary at all, and other people think that it can go hand in hand with faith.
Well, the faith that we have in Christ, the faith that we have in God's Word, isn't an unreasoned faith. You know, God nowhere asks us to just believe without thinking about it. I'm sorry, we got about less than a minute here. I'll try to sum this up. Maybe we can get into it again at a later date. But Isaiah chapter 1:18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." And we can reason through the Scriptures. We have reason to believe the Bible is true. We have reason to believe that what it says. Hebrews chapter 11 says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And without faith, it's impossible to please God." And unfortunately, our music is coming up there right now, Eddie, and I hope you'll join with us again, and we can explore that a little bit more. But we have a reasoned faith. There's evidences to support our faith. God doesn't ask us to believe. Read Psalm 22. The heavens declare the handiwork of God. That's why God says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. It's reasonable to believe the Bible. It's reasonable to believe the gospel. It's reasonable to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and hope everyone has a Merry Christmas this week, and hope you'll join us again next week for another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Good night. God bless. Stay warm.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al,
where your questions and comments are always welcome.
Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286.
Or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us.
Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. To learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church,
visit our website
at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or visit next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., the Bible Baptist Church, located at 4767 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Join us again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word.